Abnormal realities are beacons for the imagination. What society deems abnormal may be more real than we think. This is Abnormal Realities with your hosts, Ron Phillips and Rocky Stucci.
Oh, yeah, it's Taco Tuesday. One of these days, I think what we should do is eat one of those super hot Dorito chips on the show. Or
the packy chip. We're not doing that.
No, you should do
it. No, I'm not doing
it. You are a hot.
No, I've watched people do that, dude. That causes like heart palpitations and crap.
It's going to cause a problem.
I'm not doing it.
It's going to cause a problem.
I'm not doing it. That's like the pocky or the packy chip.
Yep.
Is what it's one damn chip.
Yep. And I'm talking crap because
now,
I won't do it.
Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't go to like the local taco place and have tacos and do our show from there on Tuesday nights.
I think.
You see what I'm saying? Because we have the ability.
Can we eat chips on the microphone?
Yes. Yes.
I will smack the shit out of somebody. I will smack them. I've always had a chewing phobia. Is that a word? Chew-a-phobia?
Oh, no. I know what you're talking about, though.
Is there a term to that?
When somebody chews so loud that it just gets on your damn nerves.
Well, my dad, love him to death, Dad. Hey, Dad. How you doing? I love you. He knows where I stand with this. I'm traumatized when I was a kid. And when I was a child, my dad used to eat Cheetos. And he always found it in part of his obligation to that first initial Cheeto going in the mouth bite to be a full blown crunch.
Okay.
And then the heavy breathing through the nose.
Okay.
And kind of like whistling a song. And then when he ate soup,
yeah,
I'm surprised he saw his teeth in his mouth because, you know, it's so vocal.
Is it really? I mean, it's like, is his head like an echo chamber where when he's eating the soup, he goes,
I told him, and you can hear the Civil War hit his teeth. And I said, Dad, I don't think we could be friends anymore. I'm just saying, I don't think we could be friends anymore. What's up, folks? Welcome to the program, Abnormal Realities. I, of course, am the emotional meatball, Rocky Stucci, and we have the Iceman to my right, brother in the house, Mr. Give It Up For, the sexy, the adorable, the cuddle bunny, Ron freaking Phillips.
The cuddle bunny, dude. You didn't even give me time to get my... ready.
Oh, okay. The sexy, the adorable, the cuddle bunny, Ron freaking Phillips. What?
What the hell was that, bro?
I want one of those soundboards.
Yeah, that.
Dude, can I get one of those?
No, why?
I need buttons.
You don't need buttons.
I need buttons.
No, I got lots of buttons. But see, I have buttons for like the morning show. What do I have here for Abnormal Show? What is that?
What do you
got?
Oh,
that's our outro.
Oh, man. We only got one.
I have, what is this? What is this old?
Hit it, dude. Just hit it.
I had vintage.
Do it. Just hit it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, grab your furniture and hide. We
have. They sure work hard, don't they, buddy?
Yeah. I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
And let's go around back
where we can't see them.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay. How's about taking a nap?
I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
Winston break.
Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20.
That was back when you could do cigarette commercials on the air.
That was the Flintstones.
That was the Flintstones.
Dude, they're throwing out a Winston.
You remember this one?
Hello, amigo.
Oh!
What is it?
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain...
All right, you're welcome.
Dude, I was into
it. Yeah,
that.
I know, dude. I know. It's just, I know.
It's the Chiquita Banana.
Yeah, I have a lot of old advertising, like,
dude,
Ajax. It's vintage commercials we would run on the other station.
What's another one that would be...
that we have, Odyssey.
That would be like
vintage.
That would bring back memories.
This one?
From San Francisco comes
right the rolling
the San Francisco tree.
Right,
that you're too young. You're too young for that.
Oh,
right?
Not.
Really?
I remember the trolley car in the commercial.
The flavor that is sure to please.
Rice,
aroni, the San Francisco tree.
You're welcome,
dude.
Oh, here's another one. Sing along with me.
Hot dogs.
Farmer hot dogs.
Yeah.
What time's a
love, kids eat Armor hot dogs.
Come on, Phillips.
Fat kids, small kids.
Even kids with chicken pox.
Oh!
Armor hot dogs.
Yeah.
The dog kids love to bite.
You're welcome. All right, see, we weren't even planning like that. I just happened to have all that crap on my iPad over here.
And this is what I got. Ready?
Oh, it was pretty silent there when you pushed that fake button.
That's dumb.
Let's see. What else do I have?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Yeah, that one. Again.
What was that?
I'm sexy and I know it.
Don't take nothing off. Sit down. Sit down, dude. Sit down. I don't know.
I got a little caught up in the moment there.
Can you tell we really don't have anything we're talking about? We actually do. But.
There's actually, when I'm walking sometimes, do you ever like put music in your head and kind of pretend you're walking in slow motion?
It's usually, yes, I do. I don't put it to me. I put it to somebody else when they're walking.
Oh, no. That's the song I hear.
I'd be like, night fever, night fever. You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Or Saturday Night Fever.
How about Staying Alive?
Staying Alive. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking about. Yeah.
That's the song I hear in my head.
or Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, it is. What?
You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Okay.
No, Erica, no free pity.
Erica says, yes, I totally have theme music. Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yep. I got a story.
Jamie says, I was literally just thinking that.
What?
I'm sure one of the songs I was talking about. All right, hit me with your story.
She was thinking of the your Oscar Mayer treat.
Yeah. Hot dog.
So
Armor hot dog. Oh, that's O-S-E-A-R.
M-E-Y-E-R.
I think it's M-A-Y-E-R, but okay.
Whatever.
Oscar Mayer.
So, dude, my mom sent me a message. Yeah, when she was, this is weird because I told you guys a story about when I was in the hospital. I can't remember if I was detoxing this time out of seven or what I was in the hospital for, but I told you guys to where I, what is it? Not pleurisy. It was, you know, where you're awake, but you can't move. What is that called? Paralysis.
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah. I was experiencing.
Have you ever done, I mean that you've been there?
I had paralysis. Yes.
And I've never had.
The scariest freaking thing I've ever experienced in my life because I couldn't move. Maybe it wasn't paralysis. Maybe I was like half dead and I experienced some of the other side because the hospital, when I was in this state, all the lights were off, but I could still see underneath the door and there's all these creatures there running up and down the hallway and you can hear them scratching on the door. I honest to God, and I was trying to get up and I was trying to scream and I couldn't. My body was just, I could not move. My vocals won't work. I was just frozen. The only thing I could do was move my eyes. It was the creepiest thing in the freaking world.
Wow.
So when Mama Stucci was in the freaking hospital, she kind of had a situation. She didn't have paralysis, but she kept dozing off. And every time she was dozing off, she would have this thing to where she saw these, what she called little people. She didn't say they were kids. She said they were little people. And then there was a little lady. And these little people were wearing all black. And this little lady, and I can't really explain it because my mind didn't get into detail, but she said there was a little lady, and the little lady was all in black, and the little lady was in charge of all the little people, and they were all in her room.
What were they doing, did she say?
I don't know. She didn't. We're going to have to just get her on the show and ask her. What would be your take? If you're to try to psychoanalyze that, do you think, like, on a spiritual side, those could be, like, those waiting for death? Waiting to grab your soul and keep you
there?
Well,
when I was looking for, I did the search for short people in black in a dream.
Did you find something?
I found two things. Oh. Number one, people wearing black means something.
What?
And short people means something completely different. So
what does black mean?
What does wearing black
like
mean?
The angel, like the angel of death type of scenario?
I don't know if it's angel.
I'm impressed that you looked that up, folks.
I did. Dream, here it is. Here what dreams about black clothes mean?
Oh boy.
The dream interpretation calls it a symbol of unfavorable news, illness, losses, gossip, which can damage the reputation. Person who wears dark robes in a dream personifies indecision and fear. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. What about little people?
I don't know. Let's see.
Little people. Maybe it's like a flashback of the Wizard of Oz. Are they midgets?
The Munchkins.
Yeah. The Munchkins wearing all black. I think those are like little demon creatures waiting to steal your soul.
Dreaming of a dwarf, meaning to be a little person or a dwarf. Dreaming of being a little person means that you will not have enough courage to stand up to someone.
Oh,
well, she wasn't dreaming about being one.
No, but she has nothing to worry about because she doesn't need to worry about doing the standing up. We'll take care of that for mom.
Yeah. Short person dream interpretation. Short person in a dream symbolizes a positive medical condition or status in the dreamer.
That's pretty good.
That would make sense.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, Phillips.
That's weird.
Yep. And she didn't say she felt frightened or anything like that, but it's just weird how certain times and certain situations. Well,
and that's the same thing your dad. Your dad said it was between asleep and awake when he would see the people standing next to him down in his den.
Would that be like the beta state?
I don't know. I'm very rarely in that state. Now, I think like when my alarm clock goes off in the morning, I'm there for a second until I click out of it. But I usually, when I wake up, I'm usually pretty coherent right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he always says
that's usually, training.
Yeah. That's, it's weird because there's a couple times where, and
I know exactly where the gun safe is and I know how to get to it
with your eyes closed.
With my eyes closed.
Yep.
Yep.
It's weird though because his scenarios have, there's nothing really consistent because he said there's been people behind him. Oh, there's been people next to him. There is the guy that was standing in front of him pointing a gun at his face.
Yeah, the people reaching behind him, putting their fingers and hands in front of his face.
And then he woke up one time and someone was rubbing a feather on his face.
Or had a feather in front of him. I remember that, yeah.
I wonder what the...
What's the significance of a feather in a dream? Let's see.
Are you going to type it? You're a quicker typer than me. I'm not a good typer. Even though I'm an executive, I still type like this. Because I usually have people that do
hunt and peck. Yeah.
Here we go.
Feather symbolism usually represents angels, ascension, wind, and a connection to the higher realms.
I think my dad.
If you have been dreaming of feathers or seeing feathers in unexpected places, then it is a sign that your angels are watching over you. That's excellent.
Dude, I'm calling my dad and telling him. So, Dad, you're good, bro.
Yeah, he's good.
Yep.
Your dad cracks me up with those stories because, you know, he was matter of fact about them. And, dude, I found myself in that basement den a number of times when we were up there by myself, just looking around, just waiting to see something just pop, poof. And I never did see or hear anything.
I'm going to ask you a controversial question.
Controversial. Okay.
Did I say it wrong?
You know, you're fine.
I felt pretty good when it came
out. Yeah. Okay.
Controversial.
Controversial. All right. Hit it.
Orbs. And now I'm going to say really quick. I was back and forth on orbs for a super long time until I have certain types of evidence.
Yeah.
To where I can say, okay, a piece of dust ain't going to do that. Pollen ain't going to do that. Whatever situation, that's for a whole nother time. But so I believe that maybe 2% of what we see floating objects, I believe at least 2% of them are something of an energy form. And my confidence was solidified at the Fernhill house when they would move on command or I would sit in the room and I'd watch those different colored ones coming in and out of the room, going into the closet.
Right.
So at my parents' house.
When the orbs you're looking at or you're filming are taking 90-degree angle turns and not just floating across the room like a speck of dust would in the sunlight or in a light beam or something. See, that's different.
Yep.
Now, if there was wind or if you caused, the thing to turn, you would know it.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? So that kind of stuff right there is the stuff that makes me kind of second guess things. But I don't know, would you see energy like that?
I saw it with my own eyes there. And there have been people that saw it with their own eyes. But I think it's more than just an orb. I think it's something more in a manifest state when you see it with your own eyes, right?
Yeah, so tell everybody about the orbs in your pictures.
So all year long at my parents' house, here's an example. You can take 50,000 pictures a day in my parents' house, literally 50,000 a day, and never get one speck of dust. I'll just put it in those terms. And I appreciate people's skepticism on this. I would never debate it. you know, I think everybody has to learn through their own process on the legitimacy of if could that be energy or could that be dust, right? But it's really weird because during the holidays, mainly two of them, which has been huge in our family, and that's Thanksgiving and Christmas. For some reason, the only time the dust decides to appear in pictures, the only time is when we're doing family pictures up in my parents' living room. Mm-hmm. So my parents actually had a big frame. It was right when I got out of treatment and they had the picture framed. It was me and my sisters, my brother, and my mom and dad. And I had all these things mm-hmm. around me. And then there's a couple little sporadic ones in the picture, but they're surrounding me. It's every year, Ron. It's every
the other
single
picture
year.
I saw that was right around the corner when you walked down in the bay.
Yep.
Was the one that was right over the top of you.
Yep. Yeah. I had that. I think it was right here. I had a huge one right at my chest. And then just like that, the next day you can try to redo that same picture. You can sit there and try to do whatever you have to do and you will not get that quote unquote dust to appease some of you people, in those pictures. So the way I explained it to you, now you saw the pictures. Now a lot of people here haven't, but you saw the pictures. What is your take on something like that as a true skeptic?
Yeah. It's a light, you know, lens flare or dust or something, but to not be able to recreate it. Cause I mean, if you were going to try to recreate it, you'd have to take it at the same time of the day in the same place with all the same variables. That's hard to do. Right. But yeah, I mean, for me, that's all lens flares and stuff from other camera flashes or light in the room. Or,
fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough.
But here's the thing, though. But for it to only happen that time of year when y'all are all together, you know, there's a lot of dust flying around in that room. Apparently, somebody needs to shake their clothes off before they come in the house.
Well, right after one time we took the pictures. By the way, Miss Leslie, tell Brother Andy, we said, "What's up, big dog? How you doing?"
Sorry, could you say that again?
What? Hey, mind your own.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
She's nosy.
She was nosy.
Always
I don't
spying
know.
On her.
Why is she talking to me?
We actually tried one time right after.
Your mom's and dad's families. Those are all your ancestors.
So, and I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because one Christmas Eve, right after the pictures, and we got all those, and we were seeing them. We weren't searching for them, but we're like, holy crap. We tried to hurry up and sit on the couch and bounce on the couch to try to kick up dust from the couch.
Leslie said he heard you.
He did. That's my boy. And we could not get those pictures. We could not get the orbs when we were trying to actually get them in the picture. We go into my mom's room, and we had what we believe to be a couple people that we knew that were deceased come through very clear from my mom's room. My mom thinks there's things going on in her room, but just like my dad thinks there's things going on down in his basement. Is it manifestation? Because once my dad maybe had a dream and thought it was a real experience, and then he started believing that it created a reality.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know.
I mean, yeah. And Steph asked, did you see the pictures of the... of her daughter's
I did. As a matter of fact, during the second segment, Steph, during the second segment, we'll go back to that. But what's his name? I just saw it. Arnold Fernandez. How you doing? Good point. Let's talk about Xenobots.
Yeah, we got about 5 minutes. You want to do that now?
Do we got enough time?
Yeah, we got enough time.
Come on, rip through it. Or let's just hit the highlights and then let's talk about this because I got questions.
Let's see. Where are they?
Oh, the Xenobots.
Is this it? No. Where did that story go? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. That was a story we got sent to us.
The New York Times.
Yeah. So it's a New York Post story. The world's first living robots, known as Xenobots, can now reproduce. U.S. scientists have revealed.
Now, what is a Xenobot?
It's a small robot, kind of like a nanobot. Small.
Okay.
It says. Experiments showed that the organisms can swim out into their dish, find other single cells, and assemble, quote, baby xenobots. A few days later, the babies become new xenobots that look and move just like the initial creation.
So is there like...
The new xenobots can then go out and self-replicate again, according to the scientists. Xenobots, which are less than a millimeter wide, are designed on a computer and hand-assembled.
So these are not real.
They're not real, yeah.
Living things.
The scientists said that they were stunned to learn that tiny blobs could spontaneously replicate. People have thought for quite a long time that that we've worked out all the ways that life can reproduce or replicate, but this is something that's never been observed before, says Douglas Blackiston, who worked on the study. Quote, this is profound.
So they're doing this.
These cells have the genome of a frog, but freed from becoming tadpoles, they use their collective intelligence and a plasticity to do something astounding.
So they can reproduce, but they're not real living organisms.
Correct.
And they possess an intelligence.
And yeah, it says if we knew how to tell collections of cells to do what we wanted them to do, ultimately that's the regenerative medicine. That's the solution to traumatic injury, birth defects, cancer, and aging.
But that's kind of scary because, you know, trying to come up with the miracle, and that would be fantastic if we had something like that, Ron, where we could just say, let me throw some of these little robots up your ass, and it's going to go in your body and
it'll
heal clean, you.
Yep, and, you know it'll, I mean? And it'll heal you. Look, we're closer to that happening, I think, than we are to the invention of the aircraft.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think we'll have that happen in the near future.
What if Pac-Man, we're going to call this thing Pac-Man.
Yeah.
What if something goes wrong where these things that are they're not real organisms, they're nanobots or xenobots or whatever you want to call them, microscopic things that are able to continue to reproduce without sex, which is dumb, and they don't even have to poop out eggs. But what if those things go vicious and malevolent and start attacking certain parts? How do we stop that? Is another vaccine, maybe?
It says details about the robots created using the heart and skin stem cells from the African clawed frog were unveiled last year after experiments showed they could move and self-heal. So, look, I mean, the implications of something that's not a living entity replicating itself over and over again, it's like the Trills in Star Trek. I mean, it's scary, right? I mean, that's stuff Skynet's made of.
Yeah. You know, honestly, though, I mean, I seen this one video where they're miniature drones.
Yes.
And
those are nanobots.
Yeah. And this guy, well, they opened up a back of a truck and they all flew out. But this one guy had one. I think it was during like a TED talk or something like that. And
oh, those were little drones.
Yeah. And he just kind of threw it up.
Yep.
And it did everything on his command, and it had the ability to go put something right through your freaking skull.
To shoot.
And make you just go poof.
Yep. I do remember seeing, there was a TED talk about that. I remember seeing something like that.
So does science scare you at times?
Science has the ability to be scary, but science is also, you know, look, can we clone human beings right now? There's no question in my mind that we can clone people.
Well, China's cloning cows.
We've cloned cows, sheep, everything. Of course we can clone people. Yeah. What was the movie I just saw recently where they cloned somebody?
Oh.
Who was that movie?
Never mind.
No, I can't remember. It was something I watched just recently where they literally were cloning. His family got killed and he cloned them.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. And that would really freak me out, but they didn't come back the same person, right?
They came back exactly the same because he transferred their consciousness over.
Oh, we can do that too.
Apparently.
Speaking of that, when we come back into the second segment, we have this old video. Now we're going to give a warning. Watch this video because these Russian scientists kept a dog's head alive for quite a bit of time. And at first, we didn't think that there was intelligence to it, but you guys be the judge, and we have some comments in regards to that. So, I gave you a warning, so don't come at me and say that was cruel and gross. This is science. So
you don't have to watch it. We'll let you know before and after.
That's it. Well, you can turn your head, okay, just like this.
Yeah.
We ain't going to judge you. Folks, that's Abnormal Realities. That's right, Deb Treadway.
It was Keanu Reeves. Thank you.
That's right. Yeah. We love you guys. AbnormalRealities.com. Rocky Stucci, Ron Phillips, AbnormalRealities.com. RomakingDesigns.com. Ron Phillips, take us home.
Hey, guys, we'll be back in 2 minutes. See ya.
At Romica Designs, we're more than just a laser engraving and specialty design company. Much more. I'm Ron Phillips, co-owner of Romica Designs, and if you can dream it, we can probably make it. We can custom laser cut and engrave on nearly all material. Great for one-of-a-kind gifts, home decor, business and specialty items, or personalized and logo designs created just for you or your company. Allow us to become your go-to gift and specialty project partner. Romica Designs can help make your ideas a reality. We're ready to help you design and create that special gift for any occasion or engrave your personal or business logo on just about any product. View our designs at romicadesigns.com or simply email us with your ideas. We specialize in custom design and would be honored to have the opportunity to discuss it with you. Call us at 817-400-4040, email info@romicadesigns.com, or visit us on the web at romicadesigns.com.
Abnormal Realities.
I watched a documentary the other day. People that were abducted. That's what it was about.
Abductees.
There is a kid. He claimed that he could speak alien. Let me see if I can pick it up. And he was serious, dude. I got chills watching it.
Then what was that sound you were making just now?
I don't know. It was what they did. But I probably said something in alien just now.
Did you call them to come get us? Maybe they can bring us a pizza. Ask them.
Bring us pizza?
Yeah, I don't care what.
Okay, hold on. I got to feel it.
Make sure it has jalapeno on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Just half jalapeno.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to ask aliens to bring me pizza.
Do they deliver it in 30 minutes or less?
It's on the way. All right. Or it's free.
Abnormal Realities. With Ron and Rocky. 8 p.m. Eastern, Mojo 5-0.
Oh, left side.
Did you get it? Did it work?
Dude, you got it.
It's like a knot, isn't it?
It is unbearable. It's like a tendon is just being stretched like a rubber band, and it's just it's
like you need a ball peen hammer and somebody to just.
I'm not even doing it. Seriously, I thought about that. I mean, anything, just anything. I don't even know
door what to frame, do
a car, just run my shit over. You know what I mean?
He's been complaining about this backache for a week now, and I said, go to the damn doctor.
Dude, I'm a warrior.
You are, until you're not.
I just don't know how much warrior I got left. I'm trying to come up with the warrior name for myself on the way here, but the pain overtook my thought process.
I hear you.
And I couldn't.
Holly says, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, no, he's trying to get this knot out of my back, and it's just dumb. That's all. It's dumb.
It's dumb. All right. You want to do this now? Oh, so what are you going to do first, Steph?
Well, yeah, Steph, she sent me some pictures here. Hold on. Don't do a screen transfer yet, just in case. Let's start with this one, which has nothing to do with really what we want to talk about here.
Okay.
But she sent us this. You can go ahead and show this part.
I can see a shadow there.
Yeah. Now, Steph, you know, we probably should have just had you call in to explain what the hell is going on here, but
looks
she's
like somebody standing in a different window with a reflection.
Yeah, so she sent this as a shadow person, and so this was one of the pictures that she sent me. That's one cool thing about doing a show like this is that you you actually get some cool pictures from people. Mm-hmm. So, and then right here is, now she sent us these ultrasounds, and this one here, I'm trying to see it, and I can't change screens because she, it'll take us off.
You want me to? Show that?
She said that was a screen door.
Okay.
All right. So this was the first one she sent me. Now, Steph, I don't know if, no, I think I kind of see a face, but I don't see anything that's really popping. This may be a before, and then we're going to show you an after. But it does look like in this ultrasound picture, you see the hand, but is that a face
on the there left?
On the left-hand side?
It kind of looks like it, doesn't it?
It does. Now, I got a thought in regards to this, but now let's go to the next picture.
Go ahead.
And we have this one now, over here. This is something
I distinctly see the face on the right, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of odd.
Yeah. You see a perfect cheek. You see a perfect, it looks like the bottom lip is coming out farther than the top lip, you know?
Yeah.
So you see the lip right here. Then you have a Stucci nose right here. And then the eyes. And it's like you almost see hair. It's like, could it be pareidolia? 100%. Without a doubt.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm going to say anybody and everybody that looks at that could very easily see that as a face. Now, here is a thought. When you see this in an ultrasound of a baby and you see like what could be a human face, then the thought comes to the meatball's head about reincarnation. And could that be the soul of a deceased person that will become that baby? That soul of that lady that we think we see will transfer into that baby as it develops in the womb? And that'll be a soul reincarnated? That's kind of the thought that just goes through.
Wow, dude.
Come up with shit, dude.
Wow.
Come up with shit. That's what I'm saying. What?
He's like, I come up with shit. That's kind of interesting to think about.
It's on deck. It's waiting. It's on deck to transfer into this human body as reincarnation.
Wow. Okay. No, I get that. I can see that.
So I'm curious, Steph, if this child, and I don't know the relation of the child, but does this child, no, it's not faked. It's not Photoshop. Steph would never do that. The whole thing is we never saw. Right. You didn't see it at the time. But does this child reflect somebody that maybe, you know, see, it's hard to tell because do family reincarnate back into the same family or do we just reincarnate? We're on deck somewhere and wherever there's an available pocket, we're like, you're up. You're going into that one lady over there. Hop on in, go up in and just wait until it gets pooped out and then you'll go in the soul. Because what did Jeff say? Life starts at the first breath or the soul activates at the first breath? Or did he say it activated in the womb and the first heartbeat? I can't remember what Jeff Harmon said.
I don't know, honestly.
So
Leslie says, in the book Echoes of the Soul,
Echo Bodine, wonderful lady,
we reincarnate among our loved ones. Did that image, Steph, look like anybody that you have known?
Well, you ever see what Steph looks like?
Huh?
So, Steph. Okay, so I'll show you a picture off air. I won't show her picture on air.
Yeah.
How do I get to her page here? I'll just click it right here. Now, I don't think she has any side views, and I don't think Steph has a Stucci nose, but if you look at that picture, there could be like some kind of familial resemblance, right? So I don't know. This is up to Steph to kind of come up with, you know, a conclusion or an idea. But, you know, that's just something to think about. Could that be a possibility? Could that be a real thing? Could reincarnated souls actually go into the womb? And at a certain time, the certain spark when the baby's ready to be birthed is when that soul takes over that body. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So this is something to ponder on.
That brings another thing to mind that we haven't talked about yet. Our children, because you know, none of us, or very rarely, let's just say, remember being in the womb. Very few of us remember anything before the age of 4. We have flashes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Do kids come out of the womb knowing the secrets of the universe? There's a TikTok out about that. Or there's a story. And they forget it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
By the time they're talking, and the time they're, you know, it's what's the term that's used for it? Where they are becoming themselves, where they're, you know, God, there's a term anyways, when they begin to
come on,
understand the world, right? Who they are themselves, things like that.
Well, it's funny though,
because do they then forget?
Right. Because all of that when stuff? You hear of children that are very young that are talking to past relatives that they didn't even know. Cause Rocky did that. Lisa told you that story where Rocky was talking to Grandpa. I think Grandpa Mike, and Rocky was his baby at the time. She didn't even know him. He didn't even know him. He never even saw it. And he was talking to somebody, and Lisa's like, well, who are you talking to? And he looks at Lisa and says, Grandpa Mike. Elisa freaked out. So when you hear these stories of these children having these interactions and conversations with quote unquote imaginary friends, yep, they don't ever remember it when they get older. So that could support what you're saying.
Kathy says, I believe infants see things we don't. Jamie says, the older you get, your pineal gland calcifies.
Oh,
and you stop seeing things, your third eye closes. So, you know, it's when you're that young, I just can't help but think that to occupy the growing mind of a infant or a child, God has placed this knowledge in their head.
Deb Treadway said that her husband remembers as early as a few days born. I've never heard that ever. So, like, what does he remember? Like,
yeah,
getting food he hated shoved in his face? And
yeah, what do you remember at that early age? I have in my mind's eye, I remember riding on a tractor. My mom and dad, when they lived in somewhere near here, it was somewhere in Crowley, that I was riding on a tractor and I remember wearing a diaper. And I don't know how old I was. It had to have been before the age of two, because we moved into the house in the town where we live now when I was two. So I have this flash of a memory that I don't recall ever seeing in a picture, but literally that's it. I don't remember anything else.
I can't remember how far back I remember.
And it's a struggle to think that, too.
Somebody had to remind me of an event.
Now, in regression hypnosis,
yep,
that's all a different ballgame. Yep. Then maybe you do remember, right?
But
I want to do that.
I know, but sometimes when you're doing that regression or stuff, a type of hypnosis, you're going to also remember things that you probably don't want to remember.
True.
Like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, true.
I did do that shit.
Look, dude, there's a lot of things in my life.
Yeah.
A lot of periods of time that I don't remember.
No.
Even as a grown adult. I literally don't. Yeah. Right. And I'm sure it's because either they were traumatic or I blocked them out for some reason, something like that. People do that all the time. I get that. But there are people that I know who remembered the damn day and what the weather was like that day on some day 25, 30 years ago. That's ridiculous to me.
I don't.
How does your brain, store that kind of information?
When we're in the womb, do we like inhale?
Yes.
Like
they have
juice?
Pictures. They have pictures of babies swallowing and breathing, and yes, it's amniotic. You know why? Because it's oxygen filled.
So
it's flowing through your lungs.
Then why couldn't I not jump into a bathtub full of that amniotic fluid and just go underwater and just go?
But could you?
I ain't trying.
No, that's what I'm saying. Could you? Could you take a breath of oxygenated water?
The only way I would do
it. God, we are all over the place today, that's a great question.
It is, because I would have to be at the drowning state of the suffocation state for my body to be in such a panic and do what any other body does, is you just get to the point to where you just breathe in. If your body does it, you can't fight it anymore. I could not consciously go.
And suck in, yeah.
And feel it all fill up.
Nope.
And then start breathing?
But you literally drown. That's the thing.
Would you burp if you breathe in water?
I have no idea, dude. You get the hiccups. I know kids in the womb get the hiccups.
Those little son of a bitches. Dude, I got freaked out when Lisa was pregnant.
Was it Leslie? Leslie Holker. She says, that would be me, Ron. I hope my brain always stays that intense. You can remember stuff that detailed far back? See, people like that can write books. That's how authors who are really good at writing books, especially people when they write about themselves, autobiographies or biographies of other people, they can retain so much information, dude. I'm struggling to write my autobiography or my memoirs for my great grandkids and whatever, just about, and I'm not even writing them for publishing. I'm just writing them because I want my family to know about my life. Right. I can barely remember shit to put in my book. I'm like, what the hell did I do during this period to this period? I don't remember.
Yeah. You just need somebody to help remind you.
I guess.
And tell you the story.
I got friends from high school who are like, hey, you remember when we did this? Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
No, I don't, actually. Do what?
I'll be like, what grade were we in?
You can't talk with that. vape smoke coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And then you start coughing.
Dude, I'm curious, though, about Deb and her husband. What does he remember?
Mm. Back about 2 days from when he was born.
Yeah, I know, but what would you remember?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, just laying there looking at a ceiling saying, what the hell am I looking at?
Was it blurry? I understand that infants have blurry vision for a period of time.
Was it blurry?
I mean, look, it's intriguing to me because, again, it's one of these things that most people don't get to experience. Although that was kind of wrong to say, too, because we all experienced it. We just don't remember it.
Yeah, so it's in there somewhere.
It's in there somewhere.
It's in a compartment somewhere deep in the roots of the face hole.
Wow, dude.
Dude, this is deep shit, bro.
Wow.
Let's get deeper.
Okay, hit it.
Wow, I just had deja vu. Let's get deep. Give me a little bell on that shit, bro.
What?
Oh, I said, let's get deeper, and you said, hit it.
There you go. All right.
All right, so here is your warning. Yeah. If you're a little light on the tummy and there's some things, because I'm a big dog lover,
has this
right?
got audio with it?
I don't know. We're going to check it out, though. So I just want to give everybody...
Read the title of it.
It says, in the 1940s, Russian scientists kept a dog's head alive for a few hours. In quotations or parentheses or whatever it's called. It says graphic.
And it is graphic.
It's uncomfortable because I love dogs, right? And we don't know, did they like dehead this dog for this experiment? Don't know for sure, right? So what I'm going to do, Mr. Phillips, well, the whole video is a minute and 25 seconds. Should we just play the whole thing?
Yeah, yeah. All right, so. Warning. All right.
Okay, before we start though, Ron, what was your first assessment?
To me, it appeared to be. As though I was watching not a horror movie per se, but something like special effects.
But you thought that they were just creating like a blood flow to the head.
Because literally, folks, what it is it's a dog's head down to the neck, but they've got stuff connected to it. But the dog's head is still reacting to things. So we wanted to show you this just because it's abnormal and it's a reality, apparently.
Yep.
But again, warning, let me switch over to it.
But there's a reason why we're bringing this up. So here we go.
An animal's head can also live in the isolated condition. Here is the plan of the experiment. The arterial pump takes arterial blood from the reservoir to the head, while the venous pump drains off the venous blood. The blood is arterialized in the reservoir, where there is a steady flow of oxygen.
So they are oxygenating the brain.
The blood circulation ensures the metabolism necessary for the life of the head. The isolated head lives on for hours and reacts to external stimuli. Isolated head even reacts to light and to sound.
Now, I just want to say, you know, there's a lot about that video that would come off as to be cruel, but that was not the intent of it. The intent of it. Now, Ron, here's my question. And let me go to the channel here. Do you think that dog, I don't know how long or if it died and then they immediately hooked this stuff up and then started blood flow and oxygen to the brain to bring it back from the dead?
I mean, we don't know the answer to it. Obviously there was a reason for the experiment to test whether or not they could use the equipment that they had, the oxygenated blood, to keep the brain active. Now, I've seen people who are amputees, literally amputated at the abdomen.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Still surviving, still taking, I mean, their heart's still pumping. They're fine. And it's an oddity, right? It's an oddity. That's how circuses and stuff like that have made their money over the years. But it's an intriguing oddity, if you ask me. Mm. And you know, was that a cruel experiment? Many would say yes. I would probably say yes. But it was an interesting, abnormal take on something, and we found that and wanted to. And
well, Teresa said it's not a lie, people. Nerve and muscular responses. So with the nerve and muscular response, would that nerve and muscular response react to light and sound? And then when they put that acid or whatever it was on the lips and it licked directly at those areas?
Yeah, that was citric acid, like in a lemon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So would the nerves automatically react to go to those areas?
I don't know.
So here's the big question. If they have the capabilities in some weird form, and like we cannot answer, is there real intelligence or memory being downloaded in this dog's brain? And is that dog conscious to this? Do they have the capabilities of taking the head of a human and putting it on a robot body and internally have a machine that circulates inputted blood and through that process?
RoboCop.
A RoboCop.
Yeah.
Is that or could that ever become a reality in our existence?
Look, I don't think it can. I don't think it's a reality right now, of course. Could it become a reality? Dude, they are making so many strides with medicine and medical advancements and stuff like that. You know, I wouldn't have thought 10 years ago that we could, you know, that somebody with no lower half of their body would survive. But they do. It's just, I don't know. Now, tying human beings to mechanical stuff, that I don't know. But you watch someone with a you know, bionic or mechanical arm, and the fingers move because they're twitching their muscles or they're thinking, you know, because like right now I can think, move my index finger and I can do this with it. If I think that same thing with a bionic arm, am I still moving my index finger?
Right.
Well, it's reading signals that say move the index finger of this arm.
But we have to figure out how to connect to that.
I understand that. I don't know. I mean, right now it's just reading muscle signals, right? But I don't know how.
I know some people are saying that it's a neurological thing and an electrical thing, and I totally get that. And my brain goes that direction too. But if we didn't have the capabilities to tie in to the human head quick enough before the brain dies, and we know that does take a little time for the brain to die, what does it actually take for the brain and from the neck up to stay functioning? Because we talked about it this week or last week about how long it takes for the brain to die after death.
Yeah.
So if we were able to connect to the brain, it don't need the food, but it just needs some kind of a nutrient or whatever some of this body needs for nutrition, but it doesn't need organs because the organs and the heart and everything serves a purpose that serves most of your body from your neck down. So if they were giving it the nutrition, whatever nutrition it needs, and O2 and the oxygenated blood, why couldn't they keep a head alive and keep the intelligence? But the question is then, is it a soulless entity? Is it a soulless animal?
Where is the soul?
Where is the damn soul? People say that, you know, when you look in somebody's eyes, it's the pathway to the soul. Is a soul in the heart?
Is it in the brain?
Is it in the brain?
Yeah.
You know, if something died and they were able to bring their head.
Look, dude, it won't be long, relatively speaking, before we have the first full body transplant, was what that'll be called. They won't call it a head transplant. They'll call it a full body transplant, right?
Yep.
It won't be long before we have that, relatively speaking. But at the same time, you know, haven't we talked about this? Do people, when people were beheaded back in the day, did they know they were beheaded?
Yep. That's what got me into the subject originally when I found out.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah, so your head is on the ground for at least a short period of time, and you are able to know that my head is cut off from my body as your brain slowly shuts down. So you're conscious about that. That's creepy. But what would be creepier is to have somebody get a human head from a freezer because somebody volunteered their damn head for an experiment, and somehow they connected to this melon, and they got the melon to come back to consciousness, and you were able to talk to a head connected to a whole bunch of things. Hmm. That would be some Frankenstein shit for one.
Yeah.
Right? But two, what are you talking to? Would I be talking to, let's say, my mother? Would my mother have the emotions? Would she have the memories emotionally attached? Or would it just be like a program that it's just displaying information that's in that brain?
And my guess is it wouldn't be able to talk.
That would, oh, because you need the vocal cords.
You need the air.
You need air.
The airflow.
Yeah. Son of a
yeah.
bitch. I didn't even think about that part. Yeah. Good point. Good point. So there would have to be communication through eye blinks.
Through blinking.
Yep. Mom, do you know who I am?
I would have a little bit of trouble with that.
What? Oh, my God. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, my eye doesn't blink very well. It doesn't. Damn sure doesn't open.
I don't know. I just, I don't know what they tried to accomplish in that experiment. And I don't know, man, I don't know. Because what scares me is you referenced that movie with Keanu Reeves about the cloning.
Yeah, but what the dude, freak was that movie?
You got like Pet Sematary where they bring these animals back to life and they come back different creatures. And you have all these people that are having their body frozen until they could come up with a cure. They could come up with a way to bring them back to life or whatever.
Replicas was the name of it. It was a 2018 movie. It's on Netflix right now. It's really effing good, called Replicas with Keanu Reeves. Right here.
I don't know, man.
What?
Oh, you know, I you can't help but reference like family, you know, like you bring in family member live. I would always be like, so how you doing today? How you feeling? Do you remember last night?
Well, one thing in this movie, and this is a spoiler alert in 3, 2, 1. One thing in this movie is he erases one of the family members from everybody else's memory when he puts it back and puts their memories in the new bodies.
What?
Oh, it's brilliant.
Why?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that.
You kind of have to now. No. Is it a new movie?
No, 2018.
Dude, it's been around for 3 years, so it if has. You haven't seen it by now...
Okay, Replicas. Go watch it. We'll talk about it on another show after you watch it.
Dude, I don't know when I got time.
It's brilliant. I know. Me either.
Oh, shit.
Yep, me either.
Watch it.
Hey, guys, coming up December the 12th. I don't know how much time I'm going to have that night to do any ghost hunting. I'll be worried about pissing my pants.
We'll bring some diapers and bring some extra blood. Dang. And something happens, we'll cut your head off and just start pouring some blood up into your head hole. And trying to keep you alive. We'll be like, Ron, blink if you can hear me.
Oh, my God.
No?
No. Yeah, Haunted Hill House, December the 12th. We get the house at what time? 8 p.m., right?
We get it at 8 p.m.
8 p.m., 7:45.
And then we'll probably try to start streaming as soon as we can, probably at around 9 o'clock, because we'll probably have some rules and regulations. And
just we'll have to go through some kind of briefing, I'm sure.
Quick little tour of the house. Yeah. The owner doesn't go upstairs, so I think that's just kind of one of those things where we just do it. So again, yeah, December 12th, it's going to be a Sunday night. And again, don't feel like, what's up, Sue B3? Don't feel like you need to stay up all night and watch this, because wherever we choose to stream it, which will probably be YouTube,
it'll all be there.
It'll all be there. You can come back and watch it. We may do different, like half an hour segments, so that way you don't have to sit there and watch through 4 hours of stream. And then we'll just try to do multiple.
Yeah, we'll do some live stuff, and then we'll be recording quite a bit of the time that we're in there.
Yep.
Those will be uploaded later. But when we do our live streams, we'll be able to update you on what has happened since the last live stream.
Yep.
And what we're about to go do, that kind of thing like that.
And so, when Ron goes up to the attic by himself, will be live, bitches. Yeah.
That's not happening.
Woo.
That's not happening.
It's going to happen.
It ain't going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It ain't going to happen.
I know the time's going to come where you're just going to Viking up, do it for Ragnar Lothbrok. You're going to do it for Lagatha. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to do it for Lagatha, bro.
We haven't talked about that recently.
Oh, we got to
You know where
up.
I'm at?
Nope.
I'm in season 6.
Are you mad about stuff?
Episode 3.
Are you mad about things?
I am a little bit mad.
Yep, I get mad too a lot of times.
A little bit mad about things. Yep. I did not like how season 6 started.
How did it start again?
With Ivar.
the boneless
somewhere else because he got kicked out of Kattegat.
Yeah, he gets kicked out a lot of shit.
He did.
He's that little son of a bitch, and I'll probably find him before he's still alive.
And now they've got this dude from the Russian mob.
Yeah, that's right. The Russian mob.
The Rus Vikings.
Yeah, the Viking Mafia. But folks, this is Abnormal Realities. We love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Again, December 12th. But get your asses on over to RomikaDesigns.com. Take care of them. It's Christmas time. Perfect spot to get a Christmas gift. RomikaDesigns.com. Our website has all the links. AbnormalRealities.com. Rob Phillips, take us home.
Hey, guys. We should be back here tomorrow night. So stick around with us. And please share the show. We appreciate it. See you guys tomorrow night.
This is the seditious, rabble-rousing, liberty-loving, home of fun, entertaining, and compelling talk. Mojo 5-0.